There are fewer than 30 men in the world qualified to drive Formula One. A mere half dozen, perhaps, to win. At this moment, I'm inclined to think you're not one of them.
No, you want to.
Keep up the good work, and there you have it. There you go. With the qualifying.
Welcome to F1Weekly.com. My name is Clark Rogers. I'm the host of the program. I'll be joined by Nasser Hamid, my co-host. This is podcast number 1078, January 15th, 2025. Nasser.
Thank you, sir. I say, in about 40 days and 40 nights, the sands of time and sound of Formula One will start blowing in the desert of Bahrain. We will look at Bortoleto and Brazilians in Formula One, Pinto to Flavio, Loeb back to France. We shall explain, lay gladly. Back to you, Monsieur Roger.
Thank you, Nasser. On today's program, lots of complaining at the Dakar rally. New team principal at Aston Martin. GM to build their Formula One engines close to the hot dog supplier in North Carolina. And Fernando says he's tired of explaining poor performance to the press. And this week's interview, we have a good one, sort of Pierre Gasly's papa. Outstanding, and excuse the quality, but it is a very good conversation. And, of course, yes, we do need your contributions to keep this program on the cloud. Just click on the Support F1 Weekly tab. You know, you want to. Nas, I know it's cold, it's winter, it's time to hibernate. I hope you're doing well.
Well, things are happening in the world of motorsports, and I am doing all right on the righteous coast. Before the start of every season, we hear this will be a great and exciting season. Then what we get is more of the same. But this time, with the strong performance of McLaren in the second part of the last season, which led them to win the Constructors' Championship, and who would have thought of that 5 years ago? Plus, Adrian Newey gone from Red Bull, LCH arriving at Maranello, and if you have to believe Mike Crack and Fernando Alonso at Aston Martin, they have issued a stark warning to Max and Lando. Watch out for Lance Stroll unleashing whatever he has in terms of talent. I just cannot wait. I'm going to get some extra maple leaf syrup on my IHOP pancakes when that happens. But in the meantime, we will take a look at the possibilities in 2025 in the Formula One community. Man of the moment and for the future is Max. He is now shooting to become the only driver apart from Michael Schumacher to win 5 championships in a row. Even the mighty Hamilton did not achieve this feat. Max is not a driver who needs a car 0.3 or half a second faster than the competition to be a threat to win races and championship. There is no such thing as cars are equally competitive in Formula One. But I think as long as he has a competitive package, he sure knows how to stick it to the competition. We saw that in Brazil last year. I believe the 2025 car from Red Bull will be the first without any input or much influence from Mr. Adrian Newey. His longtime right-hand man, Pierre Vacher, is now the man in charge to lead the design process. He was not born yesterday in Bozeman, Montana, and has been at Red Bull for many years. They still have Honda F1 Power, I should say, and I'm expecting a decent competitive package, which to me means Max's chances of taking his fifth successive title are as good as Lando's grabbing his first world championship. The only issue I see with five in a row for Max is, if his package is not competitive in the early goings, and it takes Red Bull to turn the Bismarck around half the season, and by then somebody may have done, most likely Lando or Piastri, what Max himself did last season. The ball is in your court, Senor. Do you think Max will get five in a row in 2025? Or will the Red Bull be slaughtered by the papaya rule?
That's a tough question, isn't it? I believe the loss of key personnel at Red Bull will diminish their competitiveness. I think Max will, of course, be the Max factor that we know and keep it on the front, but it's going to be tough. I think McLaren, they obviously have the edge, and really, we expect them to be fighting for championships this season. The big question mark, of course, is the big red question mark, and that's Ferrari, Lewis Hamilton. I mean, they're going ape over there right now. I mean, he's going to have a special livery, special police protection, because there will be so many fans adoring him. It's very interesting, but they really need to come out of the box and bring us some heavy competition, because that would be impressive. And of course, we've got Aston Martin promising Fernando Alonso a championship-winning car next year, but it should be a car that brings him to the podium again, like in 2023. Then we have Alpine, that's now a home for Colapinto. You've got Doohan going, wow, I better do good or I'm going to be out of there quickly. And of course, Gasly, very competitive. So it's going to be interesting. We'll see what happens. McLaren could fall apart, but I doubt it. So Nasser, this is going to be intriguing. And I'm still waiting for the big photography sessions of Lewis and pictures of Enzo at Enzo's house, Maranello, all the fans. I'm dying to see all that, Nasser.
Now let's talk about Max's teammate, Mr. Liam Lawson. The target set for him by Dr. Marco is to be within 0.3 seconds of Max, which is a reasonable target. If Lawson has a loose screw in his head, he will do what Pierre Gasly and others have done who were teammates to Max, and that is to try and find a way to beat the Dutch master starting in Albert Park. If Liam does that in the first half of the season, I am pretty sure his dishes will be done. Liam is a very good racing talent without the shenanigans of Yuki Tsunoda, and I would very much like to see him succeed. If Red Bull has a competitive car, then I can see Liam constantly in the top five and maybe climb on the podium in a few races. I think if he finishes the season within 50 points of Max, and that is really a tough order, that will be a great achievement. Question for you. Will Liam Lawson become the first driver from New Zealand since Argentina 1974 to win a Formula One race? And even more importantly, will we see him as teammate to Max at Yas Marina?
It is a big question, isn't it? But Liam has never been up against anybody like Max. So this is the big test. I think he's going to look forward to it. I think he's going to embrace it, because he seems to be a really honest race car driver, and I think he'll do okay. I mean, doing okay against Max is doing okay. You know, if he can do P3, P2 all day long, I think he'll be fine. And he might even beat Max. I mean, Sergio Perez did win races. So surprisingly, he just went off the deep end. So hopefully Liam And hopefully the RB21, I think, will have obviously traces still of Adrian Newey, I think it should be competitive.
Moving on to another team, McLaren. Lando Norris was second in the 2024 Formula One Championship, only 63 points behind Max. Lando has been at McLaren for many years and reached the top level after a stellar Junior Series career in which he won every championship he raced in except for Formula 2, where he took second place to Mr. George Russell. After some body-slamming incident with Max, he is now battle-hardened, and if McLaren can give him a car fast enough to win races from the beginning of the season, championship may not be walk in the park and never will be as long as Max is in the game, but he definitely has what it takes to become 11th Grand Prix driver from UK to become world champion. Are you ready for that, or will Piastri eat his championship pastry? What say you?
Well, Piastri is going to have an appetite for sure. And he learned a lot, and he may have learned more than Lando Norris, because he did not like, I mean, it was stinky over there. The number one, number two thing he did not like, and he's going to make sure from the beginning of the season that this number one and number two should not exist, or he prefers the loneliest number. So, and that's going to be the fight within the team, which is good because it'll mix it up and it'll be very entertaining. So I expect Piastri to kick it up a notch.
Oscar Piastri has all the hallmarks of a cage rattler. And we all know how much we like that in the palatial studios. I am just anxiously waiting how Mr. Zak Brown will manage or behave or react if a repeat of the McLaren movie from the 2007 or the 1988 season is played again, which I think is only a matter of time. Piastri has a tremendous junior Formula CV and is already a Grand Prix winner. So all the ingredients are there to become first Aussie world champion since Jonesy Boy in 1980. Third in the championship was Leclerc for Ferrari with 3 wins. Now this is where the real Pontiac excitement is for me. I heard a rumor lately. Leclerc has been watching the movie Guess Who's Coming to Dinner. Well, it's not Sidney Poitier. And his new teammate is not coming to try some Barilla spaghetti with members of Scuderia Ferrari. He is coming to get ahead of the 8-ball. I think we're in for a serious gelato treat if the Ferrari package is competitive. Leclerc will definitely not roll over and play dead for LCH. But I think he will find out pronto why LCH has more Grand Prix wins than any other driver and 7 championships. On the other hand, I think LCH will find that Leclerc is more like his 2016 teammate and less like his 2017 teammate. The driver from Monaco has the advantage of young age and burning desire to taste the world championship for the first time, which I think he thoroughly deserves. LCH has experience, and along the way, and sometimes the very hard way, he has learned how to win and how to lose. An important element for success in Formula One. May the best man win. Who could that be at Ferrari in 2025, Signor Rogers?
Yes, who could that be? It's going to be interesting how quickly LCH picks up the Ferrari's drivability, because really his entire career is surrounded by German people. He's never had a Formula One Ferrari under his culo. So that's the first thing, adaptation to the team. Then, of course, mastering the marinara sauce. But yes, how he comes up to speed. And I know that Frédéric Vasseur is going to do everything possible in his power to make that transition as smooth as possible. And the other thing, since he's never driven and understands the drivability of the Ferrari, he could be pleasantly surprised where, yes, this is not the W13. And this car could suit him really, really well. So the first five races are going to be unreal. The attention, the tifosi is going to be, God, so intense. Sort of like the days when Fernando El Más Macho del Mundo was driving for Ferrari. So, yes, I'm telling you, I think we're going to have a classic machismo season.
Moving on, we come to Shake It Up by Stroll. Management changes at Aston Martin. Andy Cowell, ex-Mercedes engine man, will take over the role of team principal from Mike Krack, as well as remaining CEO. And these changes were expected as soon as it was confirmed Mr. Newey is coming to town. Krack will now be chief trackside officer. He joined the team in 2022 and previously worked for BMW. Moving on, Flavio going Elvis on Colapinto. Can't help falling in love with you. Once upon a time, Flavio spotted the talent of a young German driver. We all know how that ended. Then he discovered the talent of young Espanol. We all know how that ended. Now it looks like Flavio will do to Doohan what he did to Roberto Moreno at Benetton. Your services are no longer required. Name your price and we part as friends. And with friends like these, who needs enemies? Briatore said, and I quote, "We are very pleased to come to an agreement with Williams Racing to sign Franco Colapinto." Clearly, Franco is among the best young talents in motorsports right now. It is fair to say his appearance on the Formula One grid last year caught many, me included, by surprise. End quote. Colapinto did at Monza what Nyck de Vries did at the same track when given his first opportunity in the F1 community. He shot the monkey. If Doohan does not perform in the first 3 to 5 races, and there are persistent rumors that his contract is for 6 races, let's see how it works out. I think Flavio will send him on an extended vacation to one of the banana republics. And that can be very slippery for a driver's career. Whatever happens, let's hope it happens before the Singapore Grand Prix. And that was the opening zinger of the 2025 season. Obviously, we don't want to see drivers lose their seats midway through the season. I am hoping Jack will rise up to the challenge. Luck is on his side. His teammate is Pierre Gasly, not some all-night-long video game-playing Dutch kid, and that should certainly help. As long as Doohan is not going Willie Nelson on a race weekend, hello, Walls, and can finish within a position or two of Gasly, I think Flavio will think twice before taking any drastic measures. Interestingly, both Gasly and Doohan used to be in the good hands of Dr. Marco. Mr. Rogers, do you see Mr. Briatore full of irrational exuberance, or has he found his third gem of Grand Prix motor racing? What say you?
Well, there's a lot of interesting exuberance here, but let's admit it. Flavio knows machismo when he sees machismo, and we know the Williams, Colapinto crashed, but the Williams seem to have been prone to crashing, and I think Logan Sargeant really got a bad rap in the end, and that'll come out in his memoirs eventually. We'll see how quickly they stick Colapinto in FP1 practice and make Doohan sit on the sidelines. That will tell you Flavio's real intentions, Nasser.
Now to some other industry news. From Chinese NBA to Formula One. Derek Chang is the new CEO of Liberty Media. He will be replacing Greg Maffei, who is leaving. Derek has been working with John Malone, chairman of Liberty Media, for a long time and said his number one priority is to make Formula One bigger and better. Inquiring minds would like to know what's on your mind, Mr. Chang. Are we talking Spa being replaced by a race in Swaziland and Monza being replaced by a race in Mogadishu? Two great destination cities. Speaking of Spa, the iconic Belgian track has renewed its contract with F1 to stay on the calendar. But wait, there's more. After the 2027 Grand Prix, it will go on a rotation basis with some complete unknown circuit, but a marvelous destination city like Kigali or Kiribati. I say Spa is heaven on earth and something is better than nothing. What say you on the new deal?
Well, I'm a little disappointed. That means we only get half of Spa in 10 years. We'll only get 5 years of Spa, which is terrible. Spa is a fantastic track. It's the top of the top, the pinnacle of motorsports. So it's always disappointing when a classic gets relegated to biannually or whatever, every other year. But hey, we got Rwanda coming soon, so I should be excited, right?
Next on the agenda, Jane's getting serious, and so is GM. Once upon a time, they used to say what's good for GM is good for the country. Now we can say what's good for GM may be good for Formula One. The Detroit-based automaker has set up a new company to develop a Formula One engine, and this will be based in Charlotte, North Carolina. The company is called GM Performance Power Units, LLC, and will be led by Russ O'Blaines. I hope I'm not butchering his last name. He is currently director of the GM Motorsports Propulsion and Performance Team. I just hope they're bringing the right people. Pat Simmons has already joined the group, and hopefully with his help, they can bring in well-qualified people. Next, bye-bye to Red Bull from Bybit. The Dubai-based cryptocurrency company has ended its 3-year sponsorship with Red Bull. Reportedly, they were paying the team $50 million per year. Not a bad deal. Now we come to everybody's favorite, LCH, the new Il Leone. R. Nige was Il Leone to the Paisans in Italy. This year they will have Il Luigi Hamilton to cheer for in Maranello and Monza. As reported by La Gazzetta dello Sport, a big Italian newspaper, Riccardo Adami will be Hamilton's new race engineer because Mr. Peter Bonington, also known as Bono, has decided to stay with Toto at Mercedes. Signor Adami most recently worked as Sainz race engineer and also worked in the same capacity for 4-time world champion and Lewis Hamilton's BFF, Sebastian Vettel. Things are heating up in Emilia-Romagna region of Italy and I am loving it. According to published reports, there will be a lot of Carabinieri activity in and around Maranello and Fiorano next week when Sir Hamilton, the racing royalty from UK, is in town testing a red car after giving up on the silver lining. Seb once said, "Everybody loves Ferrari. How about you, Mr. Rogers? Are you developing some poco amore for LCH?"
Poco Amore is possible, but he's going to have to perform. No, it's going to be exciting. Like, the crowds, the fun, the Tifosi. I mean, everybody's been waiting for this test. They want to see pick. It's going to be awesome. I mean, there's going to be documentation. There'll be television stations there covering it from all over the world. It is big. This is huge. This is the biggest thing that's happening in 2025. And I can't wait either. I just can't wait to see the YouTube videos, the photographs, and the girls screaming, "I want you, I want you, I want you."
Now we come to a feature called Brazil Back in F1 with Bortoleto. When Gabriel Bortoleto takes to the grid in his Sauber at the season opener in Albert Park on March 16, he will become the first Brazilian driver to start in Formula 1 since Pietro Fittipaldi in the 2020 Abu Dhabi Grand Prix. The land of Pelé has a rich history in Formula 1, going back to Monza Autodromo in 1951 when Chico Landi made his F1 debut driving a Ferrari. In 1970, it was Emerson Fittipaldi who put Brazil among the F1 winning nations by taking his maiden win with Lotus in only his fourth F1 start at Watkins Glen. 2 years later, he became the first and then youngest world champion from his country. Since then, we have seen one samba sensation after another. Fellow Paulista Carlos Bache was the second Brazilian Grand Prix winner when he triumphed at his home track in 1975 with Brabham, owned by Mr. Bernie Ecclestone. The track is now named in Bache's memory. Rio de Janeiro's wildcat Nelson Piquet was the second Brazilian world champion, winning twice with Brabham in 1981 and 83, and once with Williams in 1987. Then came Ayrton Senna da Silva, one of the true goats of our sport. Gabriel Bortoleto was born on October 14, 2004 in Sao Paulo. Racing is in the family bloodline. His father, Lincoln Oliveira, a successful telecom businessman, is also a senior player in Brazilian motorsports. The family supported the talented kid and allowed him to embark on his European racing expedition when he was only 11 years old. Highlight of his karting experience was third place in both the 2018 and World Championship and second place in the prestigious Andrea Marguti Trophy. And this Andrea Marguti Trophy is named after this kid who was killed at a very young age in karting, and his BFF was Giancarlo Fisichella. Stairway to F1 heaven. Today, the Italian Formula 4 Championship is regarded as the most competitive entry-level single-seater racing series in the world. It was in this championship in the 2020 season that Bortoleto made his mark. His first victory came in the fourth round at the Ferrari-owned Mugello circuit. He was fifth in the championship. The following two seasons, he raced in Formula Regional Europe by Alpine. Today they are called the series Freca. In 2021, his only podium of the season came at the Red Bull Ring. And at the end of the season, he was 15th in the standings. In 2022, a pair of wins and 5 podium appearances helped him to 6th in the standings. So quite a big improvement in year 2. Angel from above. In September 2022, an important inspiration came into his life when he signed with Fernando Alonso's A14 management. And he was quoted on the official F3 website saying, "The biggest thing I've learned from him is to never give up and always give your best in everything that you do. Whether it's motorsport or even just playing football or paddle, you should give your best." End quote. So good advice from Machismo. The plan for the 2023 season called for taking on the incredibly challenging European Formula 3 Championship with the Italian Trident team. And this is where it's very interesting. This is not a very successful or a top team in Junior Racing Series. But the boy from Brazil delivered, taking 2 wins and 6 podium finishes to take the title in his rookie season in the championship. This landed him in the final frontier before the Formula Uno Paradiso. Teaming up with Invicta Racing, he had a difficult start to the 2024 season. After finishing 6th and 5th in the sprint and feature race respectively, in the opening round in Bahrain, he failed to score a point in the next 4 races. And if you have a start like this, looks like your championship hopes are gone. Bortoleto's first F2 podium was achieved in the feature race at Imola, which was followed by another second place finish in the Monaco sprint race. His long-awaited maiden victory came in the feature race of round 7 at the Red Bull Ring. His second and final victory was an impressive last-to-first performance in the feature race at Monza, and Moore was eyewitness to this performance. The final round at Yas Marina became a two-horse race for the championship between Bortoleto and Red Bull junior Isaac Hadjar. Second in both races of the final round made Bortoleto the second Brazilian to win the Formula 2 championship in 3 years. In 2022, it was his best friend Felipe Drugovic who took the title. Bortoleto now joins an elite group of drivers on the grid who won F2/GP2 championships in their rookie season. And let's check out the names here. Nico Rosberg, Lewis Hamilton, Charles Leclerc, George Russell, Oscar Piastri, and Nico Hülkenberg, his new teammate at Sauber this season at the top echelon of motor racing. So we wish him all the best. Mr. Rogers, how do you see Gabriel going in his first season of Formula One?
Well, he's going to do well. Unfortunately, he's going to be in a team that's very uncompetitive. But as long as he beats Hülkenberg, he'll be doing himself a favor. So that's really all he has to do is beat his teammate and really get acclimated to the F1 car, but no, he's talented. If Fernando says this guy's talented, hey, who's to argue with the camping chair king? So, no, outstanding talent, and it's going to be fun to see two GP2 champions together at Sauber.
I think it's time for some Aquafina water and a much-needed break in the palatial studios. Do you concur, Senor?
I do concur, Nasser. I am suaf. So why don't we take a quick break? And we'll be back after these brief messages.
Hi, I'm Joseph Newgarden, and you're listening to F1 Weekly.
Welcome back to F1Weekly.com. Clark Rogers here, your host. And now, as we spin the globe and go around the world with Motorsports Mondial and the king, the Swami himself, Nasser Hamid. And this week's interview, Pierre Gasly's papa.
Sir, may I ask you a question, please?
Yes.
I'm a lifelong Formula One fan. I'm very big fan of French motor racing going back to Matra days.
Ah.
Yeah, you remember Matra?
Yes.
Yes. A question I have for you is, did Pierre get the love of motor racing from you?
Ah, yes, also. The grandfather of Pierre was in a team, French team in go-kart.
Ah, okay.
Yes.
Very good.
And my mother, champion of karting, of go-kart.
Oh, really?
Regional, local. But it's a passion, family passion.
Yes.
And me, I have make few races in rally, in truck, and endurance. I am champion champion in endurance.
What
production.
What kind of car you drive? You race?
Both Peugeot and Renault. Promotional. Yeah.
Your family is from Rouen, right?
Yes.
Did you ever go to the French Grand Prix at Rouen?
Rouen is the star, yes.
Yeah, Rouen.
My father is a very close friend of driver Formula One, Willy Mairesse.
Yeah, I know Willy Mairesse.
Willy Mairesse.
Yeah, died for many years.
Right? Yes, a Belgium driver.
Yeah.
Who raced for Ferrari, yeah? For Renzo. Yeah. And it's a closer friend of my dad. And he comes to the home, and I look him with more. Comment vas-tu, mon ami?
Très bien.
And it's a family story.
Now, very very important question. Okay, I don't speak French. Okay,
no.
But you know this guy? Julien Favreau?
Oui, Julien. Oui.
When he did the commentary of the last lap, when your son won the Italian Grand Prix.
Yes.
Freeza.
Yes.
Okay.
Me too.
Yeah, man. Were you at that race?
No.
Were at home?
No, at home because I have COVID.
Oh, okay.
I have 40 degrees of fever,
yeah.
And comes out with my... and I say, but my son is on, really? On the TV on the first. Pascal, my wife. Yes.
Man, that was such an incredible moment.
Yes.
And you know what your son said on the team radio? Yeah. The guy asked him, the team, he says, Pierre says, what did we do? And the guy asked, what did we do? And he said, we won the fucking race. You remember that?
Yeah.
That was beautiful. But man, the Julien Favreau, when he started giving him...
Accélère,
right? And when he said the names...
Yeah.
But when he, Julien Favreau, gave names of all the French winners, Maurice Trintignant, Jaboui, François Sever, Pironi, Tombe, Lafitte. Man, look at my frisson. Look at my frisson.
Yes.
That was just so beautiful.
So beautiful.
Yeah. So next year, is he staying with Alpine or what is he doing?
I don't know.
Oh, I need a school.
No, I don't know. I don't know.
Okay, cool.
Because I think they are motivated race by race. And he doesn't want a future. I think he had a good base to stay in Alpine. There is a lot of problem with the car, technical problem. But step by step, realize progress. Not enough, but
moving forward. Now, is it true that Esteban Ocon bought his first go-kart from Pierre Gasly when they were young?
Yes, the first go-kart of Esteban got the go-kart of brother of Pierre. But when there is a long time ago, closer friend, but there is a more problem because it's not the same approach of the sport.
Yeah.
Our family like sport because I want my son. You know, in this sport we have great satisfaction because we have a competitive spirit and also the capacity to make win.
Right.
And like I learned my son, like if I have the passion of violin or fishing, Pierre, you must try to, it's very, very interesting. Not to win, but to make a pleasure. Esteban, it's not the same philosophy.
Okay.
More the parents, the father, think Esteban wins the race for me. It's, comment dire, triumph for me.
But I understand. Yeah,
and it's not the same approach.
Yeah. Now, one of the funniest things, you know, motor racing costs a lot of money, and one of the funniest stories I heard was your son going to Uganda to find a sponsor.
Yes, Sylvain.
Did he tell you that, hey, I'm going to
Uganda? No, jamais, never. this mother, Pierre di I forgot. Told him, mother, I go to Uganda, I have a sponsor, I have a partner. And this mother said, it's not possible to go to Uganda, I come with you. But 2 hours before take the plane, she called me, I am the airport, I go in Uganda.
Oh, amazing. Okay, I'm going to give you my card. I will come to some other race.
Yes. Thank you. Thank you. Merci.
Greetings and racing regards. Money makes the world go round. And they say money, it's a gas. And this gas powers Formula One from Australia to Abu Dhabi, from Miami to Manchuria. So let's take a look at some big Buco sponsors in the world of Formula One. And this data is for the 2024 season. And most of these, actually all of them are continuing in 2025. According to published report, the two biggest sponsors are from the USFA. And I know Oracle has moved their offices to Texas, but basically two companies from the West Coast. Oracle for Red Bull, Hewlett Packard, also known as HP at Ferrari, and both are dishing out just $100 million. Isn't that beautiful? The third biggest sponsor at $75 million is the Saudi Arabian state-owned oil company Aramco, which stands for Arabian American Oil Company, and they are paying Aston Martin. And we all know Lawrence Stroll can show you some extra money. In this case, it's $75 million. Toto, it's called $70 million, is the message to Mercedes and the money package from the Malaysian state-owned oil company Petronas. The fifth one is a surprise, especially the company and the team and the dollar amount. At $50 million, we have Stake. The online gaming company and Cake and whatever they do. And they're paying this money to Stake F1 team, which we know as Sauber. Now we come to a segment called Al Davis Dossier. Just win, baby. A look at Grand Prix wins by nations. Not surprisingly, at the top with 316 Grand Prix wins, it's Rule Britannia. Of these 316 Grand Prix wins, 105 have come from one driver. Who could that be? The answer is now blowing in the wind from Maranello instead of Mercedes. Next in second place with 179 Grand Prix wins is the Fatherland, also known as Deutschland über alles. More than half of these wins have come courtesy of one man, the Kaiser from Kirpin, also known as the Red Baron. On the third step of the podium with 101 wins is the nation of Brazil. 41 of these wins were scored by one man. He was pretty good in Monte Carlo, pretty good in the rain, and pretty good at Spa. And most of all, he excelled in one thing, which we absolutely, positively love here. Cage rattling, and that's what I'm talking about. Number four on the hit parade is your Shangri-La France, with 81 Grand Prix wins. A high number of drivers have scored a win, and that number is 14 drivers compared to 21 for Britain. The last French Grand Prix winner was Esteban Ocon in Hungary. Now we need a serious drum roll. Completing the top five, I have no choice but to borrow a phrase, a line or two from a song by Mr. Curtis Mayfield, which goes something like this. From nowhere through a caravan, around the campfire light, a simply lovely driver in motion, his eyes like cat in the dark. They hypnotize the competition and give his low-lying nation a very high position in Formula One history. He is the most interesting man in motor racing and has given the Netherlands all of their 63 Grand Prix wins. I say, stay thirsty, Max. The land of gelato in Fisico is 8 with 43 Grand Prix wins from 15 drivers. The most amazing fact is the nation that gave us Tazio Nuvolari and Enzo Ferrari has not produced a Formula One world champion since 1953. So a lot is riding on the young shoulders of Kimi Antonelli. Austria is 9th with 41 Grand Prix wins from 3 drivers, Jochen Rindt, Gerhard Berger and Niki Lauda. Niki was responsible for 25 of those 41 wins. After Austria comes Argentina in 10th place with 38 wins from 3 drivers. These include Fangio, who posted 24 wins, Fraulein Gonzalez, who gave Enzo Ferrari his first Formula One championship victory, and Lolli Carlos Reutemann. He won Formula One races for 3 teams, Brabham, Williams, and Ferrari. Now we come to Dakar Rally. At the time of recording, local Saudi driver Yazid Al-Raji is the new overall leader in his Toyota Hilux. His Toyota teammate, South African Hank Luttigan, who had led most of the event, is second now. Ford Raptor is third with Swedish ex-DTM driver Mathias Ekstrom. Previous multiple winner of Dakar Rally, Nasser Al-Attiyah, won the stage and is now fourth in his Dacia Sand Rider. And your homeboy, Mr. Sebastian Loeb, had an accident and had to drop out of the rally and has now gone back to Alsace. Things also did not go well and work out for Carlos Sainz Sr. And he was also racing a Ford Raptor. Now we come to money matters. Toto, it's called sponsorship. Adidas will become a Mercedes partner and shower them with about $30 million in a new commercial arrangement, or as they like to say, partnership arrangement. Adidas was started by two German brothers with the last name of Dassler. At Mercedes, they are replacing another German powerhouse, Puma. I look forward to the German Racing Reich rising again and taking the world championship with Kimi Antonelli or George Russell. Now, sir, some very sad news. Very, very sad, I should say. A young Dutch kid who was only 7 years old, Sid Fire, I believe is the last name, he died as a result of a crash on his mini bike. He was injured on December 22nd at an indoor kart track in Svalbard, where he was training. He suffered serious injuries in the crash. And after that, several operations followed, but unfortunately, he was unable to survive. And his uncle is a rider in the Moto 2 series in the MotoGP circuit. So this is very sad news, 7 years old. So our sincere condolences to his family and friends. Sir, moving on, there is more racing action going on. The Castrol Toyota Formula Regional Oceania Championship has started. This is the series that was previously known as Toyota Racing Series and has become very popular because it takes place in January, February, where racing is not possible in Europe. There were 3 races past weekend, and you can watch them on YouTube and other channels. Winners were Schuller from Australia, Matias Zagazeta from the land of Incas, Peru. And the third and final feature race for the Denny Holm Trophy, which was the feature race, was won by Red Bull Junior Arvid Lindblad. He leads the championship. This year he will race in the F2 championship. Now this is something very interesting. young American Nikita Johnson, who is from a town less than half an hour from where I live. He is fifth in the championship. He is only 16 years old, and this season will race in GB3 Championship in UK. He is managed by Infinity Management, the same people who manage George Russell, so he is in good hands. I think, based on performance, Nikita is the best and hottest young American road racing talent since Robbie Gordon and AJ Allmendinger. And based on one meeting with him and based on watching him since last year, I'm very happy to say he is not hot-headed like Robbie and AJ. So I wish him all the best. Now we go south of the border down Mexico Way, Formula E. Oliver Rowland from UK was the winner for the Nissan E-Dams team over two Porsche drivers. Antonio Felix da Costa of Portugal. He once was part of Red Bull Junior team and almost made it to F1. Third was Pascal Wehrlein. He was once part of Toto Wolff pack and did make it to Formula One. In some driver news, and this is the real sad, pathetic part of Formula One, unfortunately. Ryo Hirakawa, he has signed a deal to be a reserve driver for Alpine. Very successful in Japanese Super Formula Series, but he is trying to get into Formula One and signing this deal at the young age of 30 years. So, but Flavio is a businessman and he loves billions and billions of yens. So who can blame him? Finally, folks, we come to Musical Mondial. The Dacia Sand Rider in the Dakar Rally reminds me of the movie The Sandpiper. And that movie features my absolute all-time favorite song. Thank you for listening. Please enjoy Vic Damone doing The Shadow of Your Smile. Sayonara till next time. Bye-bye.
Good night.
When you are gone, we'll color all my dreams and light the dawn. Look into my eyes, my love. All the lovely things you are to me. Our wistful little star was far too high. A teardrop.